Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse number 7. We'll read the rest of the chapter, and then we'll be seated. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?" Now, sometimes our sons need a stone up against the head, right? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now that's important, and we're going to come back to that, but that is so important, because there are many people today who are religious, who name the name of Christ, who will share a quote or something online, but they don't know Christ as their personal Savior. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And I want to use that passage this morning to preach on that thought, why I'm glad to be a Christian. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together? I pray, Lord, that you'll help these teenagers to be attentive and be alert and listen to what you have for them today. I pray for the adults that are in here. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I pray for those that are saved, that, Lord, we'll be reminded of how we ought to be building our life. And I pray for those in here today that cannot honestly say if they died today that they know for sure that they'd go to heaven. God, would you speak to their heart today? Would you show them how much you love them and want them to be born again? Want them to be one of your children? And I pray that today will be the day that of their salvation. So, Lord, we ask you to help us, and we ask you to bless, and we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I've been in church all of my life. My parents lived in Grand Prairie in there when they were married. And we lived there, and Mom got into church. Dad was not saved yet. He was not into church yet, but Mom got into church. So when I was in my mother's womb, I was in church. So, I mean, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, church activities, all kinds of stuff, pretty much all of my life. However, I was 22 years old when I realized that I was churchy, I was religious, but I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've heard the testimony over and over again that for 2 months as I was teaching a junior boys class, I would teach the lesson and I would give them kind of a little gospel invitation. And it's like the Spirit of God started saying, you know, you're trying to convince them to do something you've never done yourself. And I kept thinking, well, you know, I remember that time there and I remember and all of this justification. I could not get peace in my heart about the fact that I was saved. But I do remember the day the Lord saved me in the summer of 1997 when I asked the Lord in this church at this altar, asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to save my soul. And now for these many years, I've enjoyed a truly meaningful Christian life. Not just a church life, not just a religious life, but a truly meaningful walk with God. A Christian life with spiritual desires. And I think a lot of people are missing that part today. There's no spiritual appetite in their life, and you wonder, is there true salvation? I don't know about you, but I can say to you this morning, it's good to be saved. If we went around this room, we could take hours and we could each testify of 1,000 reasons why we are glad to be a Christian. I love the song that the young people sing in the youth choir, "I'm not going to hell." That's a pretty good reason right there to be glad that you're saved. Isn't it good to wake up each day with the peace and the joy and the satisfaction of knowing Christ as your Savior? Isn't it good to know that as society heads further downhill, hey, one day we're headed uphill and we get to go home to be with the Lord? Isn't it good to know that no matter what this short life brings, the Bible says our life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. My grandfather's 94 years old. But friend, in light of eternity, that's nothing in the eyes of God. But it's great to know that no matter what this short life brings, we get to spend forever in peace and in a place where there is no sin, no more separation, no more sorrow. Man, I'm telling you, I talked to a preacher friend a few years ago. He had lost his dad had died, and then one of his brothers had died, and one of his grandsons had died, a baby. And I called, and just one of my heroes, one of my mentors, and I called to say that I was praying for them. And he made this statement. He said, "Brother Jeremy, there's just a lot of sorrow in this whole world today." And I thought, man, that's so true. And we can't live underneath the sorrow. We can't live underneath the clouds. But I tell you what, there is a lot of heartache and a lot of broken hearts. As a pastor, Brother Anderson would know this and attest to this. But you hear a lot of negative. It just because people, you know, they rarely call you up and say, "Hey, Pastor, let me tell you about something good." Normally, it's, "Pastor, can I talk to you? I'm heartbroken over this, or I need counsel over that, or we're struggling there." So we have to certainly walk with God, encourage ourselves, and thank God for those that encourage us in the Lord. But man, I'm telling you, this world certainly is full of a lot of sorrow. I love that song. "There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be." I was talking this week with Miss Honey. I call her every week and we talk and for a little while, and I give her the numbers for the call in, and she said she knew it was our anniversary, and she always tells me every time I talk, she said, give Miss Audie a big hug for me, and give she used to say, "Give Sarah and Joshua," of course Sarah's away now, she'll say, "Give Joshua a big hug for me." I say, "How about I give Joshua a big old hit in the arm for you?" She's like, "All right, whatever it takes." But she said, I said, "Miss Honey," I said, "I was just looking at the birthday list and anniversaries, and I said, I just realized that you and Brother Honey would be married 50 years this next Friday." And she said, it's true. And then we got to talking about Brother Honey, and she said, "You know what?" She said, she was talking about our marriage and so forth. And she said, "Brother Jeremy, I just miss him so much, and I have good days and I have bad days. And I know I have the Lord by my side, but boy, just having my husband there to hold me and be my strength and those sorts of things." And boy, it just got me to thinking about the fact that, man, if you believe believe your Bible, we're going to heaven one day. We're going to be reunited with those that have gone on before us. Hey, sing that chorus with me. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. All right, I'll get it started. Here we go. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and when He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Hey, I'm excited about that day. I'm at that age now. I'm at that level now. I'm at that level now that I've never experienced before. And some of you have lost your loved ones. Of course, my mother-in-law passed away last year. Miss Parker, Brother Cade, and I were visiting out towards Quinlan, and we came back towards Elmo, and we were back on that road where your dad had died in an accident. I was telling him about your dad dying in a car wreck several years ago. And boy, we missed the loved ones that are gone, but I'm at this age now out where I see my parents getting weaker. And you want to be there for them, you know. And I see folks like Ms. Shuford, who loves her family, has done so much for her family, and does so much for all of our kids, and keeps that nursery, and just struggles to walk to get in the building sometimes. I see Brother Warden, who went out yesterday, walking the street, knocking doors. He's got that stick. I call him Moses. And man, thank God for faithful people. But it's hard to watch people get weaker and get to that place where they don't have that strength they used to have, and that ability they used to have. And so, friend, listen, man, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a Christian. It's no fun to bury people. It's no fun to watch people suffer. But child of God, we must never remember that we have a home in heaven. I want to give you four reasons from Matthew chapter 7 that I see. I want to give you four reasons this morning why I'm glad to be a Christian. Why I'm glad to be a Christian. Hey, I'm glad to be a Christian, number one, because I have a powerful Father. I have a powerful Father. Hey, my earthly father is a good dad, always been a good dad, a man's man. And boy, there's one thing we need in this world today is young men to be taught to be a man. Young men, don't let the world feminize you. And don't let the world today make you feel bad because you were born a man. And by the way, if you're born a man, you're still a man. And if you're born a lady, you're still a lady. No matter what you do to yourself, you still are the way you were born. Don't let the world make you ashamed, ladies, to be a young lady that loves God and loves her spouse and loves her children and wants to be a mom and wants to be a wife. Young men, don't let the world make you think somehow that you're wrong because you were born a man. We could be a gentleman, but we ought to be a man. And I thank God I had a dad who raised three boys. With raising one, I don't know how in the world they raised three. I don't know how they fed three, especially Shane and Sean. I understand I was a good break for them, but man, my dad, is a good dad. He provided for our family. He protected our family. He led our family in the ways of the Bible. And still to this day, at nearly 70 years old, if I need him, he would be here. I've tried to be a good father to my children now for these past 20 plus years. Sarah is 20. Joshua's 16. And I've tried to do my best to provide for them. I've done my best to protect them. I've done my best. And I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I've got that ugly temper, but I try to be a good godly example to them. By the way, your kids will give you a break if they just see some kind of consistent Christianity in you. We're mom and dad, but if they see total opposite from the church crowd and the world's crowd, then they know that they think this stuff's a game. If we live consistent and we blow it, we just have a bad day, or, you know, they'll forgive you for that. They'll understand that. I've tried to do what I could to take care of my kids. Still to this day, if either one of my kids have a need, they can call Dad. Sarah called me yesterday and she said, Jared's got an old phone and, and I'm going to switch, and I'm going to get his phone, and her phone was getting bad or something, and I'm going to get his phone because I'm just one of those dads that's like, man, I'm going to use my phone until it falls apart. I'm not going to get a new phone every time a new system comes out. So she had an old phone, and it was glitching, and we've always done the Androids. And so she's like, Jared has a, get your foot off his foot, all right? It's not playtime. She said, he's got an iPhone he's going to give me, and he's going to get a newer one or something. I don't know how all they worked it out, but it's on my account. And I said, all right. I said, is Jared there with you? She said, yes, sir. I said, all right, well, let me make an announcement. I'll give y'all my PIN to get on our account, but if I get billed for something or y'all change my plan, I'm doing y'all's funeral before I do your wedding, okay? So do not cost me more money. Beyond that, I don't care what you do. She calls me about a week ago. This is not about the phone. She calls me about a week ago. She's like, Dad, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the office. Usually I tell her working. It's what I always do. What do you do? And she said, I'm in the office. She said, well, Dad, I kind of wrecked the car. And I said, really? She's like, ha, 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 April Fools. I said, Sarah, you know that gray hair you've been making fun of that's been poking out? You're the reason for that, all right? So the first reaction when a kid says they wreck a car, mom's like, are they okay? Dad's like, you idiot, do you know how much that's going to cost me to get that fixed now? You know, but had she said that, you know what I would have done? First thing we would have done is said, you idiot. Then I would have said, all right, are you okay? What can I do to fix it? That's what we ought to do as dad. But can I tell you something? There is not an earthly dad with the power that our Heavenly Father has. And the Bible says all we have to do is ask. Look at it there in verse 11. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You know, God has the power to provide for us. The Bible says that He already knows what we have need of before we even ask Him. But I love this passage in Ephesians 3. Let me just read it to you. Verse 20. Now unto Him that is able, listen, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so, I can call my dad and say, Dad, hey, can I borrow a few bucks? Or my kids can call me, hey, Dad, can I borrow a few bucks? Or, hey, Dad, I need some help with this. And we can fix things to a certain extent. But the Bible says that as a Christian, I have a Heavenly Father who's able to do above anything I ask or anything I could ever think. That is powerful. Now, my Heavenly Father also has the wisdom to know what's best for my life, even when I don't understand it. I could guess at what might be best for my kids' lives, or my dad can kind of guess, use his wisdom, use his experience and his insight or discernment, and say, you know, here's my counsel. And thank God, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But again, there is a limit to the wisdom of man. And the Bible says the wisest man on earth is like, it's like foolishness with God. We haven't even touched His level yet. So, man, being a Christian gives you a Heavenly Father we can pray to. We can have our needs met. We can ask for things according to His will. But then He's powerful enough to know if what I'm asking for is really what should be happening in my life. The Bible puts it this way in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All right, so things work to good, and we say, I don't see how this could work towards the good. But God has a purpose in everything in our life. And the very next verse says this, for whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He predetermined that those that would be saved would become more like Christ in this life. And I believe the Bible talks about somewhere the fellowship of His sufferings. We fellowship because we have things in common. So yes, in this life, as Job said, a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So to have God as our Heavenly Father, listen, parents, Being a good parent doesn't mean you protect your kids from everything and anything. We've got too many parents today. I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I'm going to for a second. Too many parents today that immediately want to blame the cops, immediately want to blame the principal, immediately want to blame the school teacher. Could it just be somebody needs to get a paddle out on your kid? Well, I'll tell you what, I won't ever. I'm not saying do it without your permission. I'm not saying that. But there used to be an answer for discipline problems, and it wasn't a bottle of pills that made kids sleep through church. Hey, listen, I'm glad to be a Christian because I have a powerful Heavenly Father, and I'm going to have to go through some suffering and some things I don't understand and don't agree with sometimes, but I'm glad that I can ask Him. And then as Philippians 4 says, I can just live in peace of, you know what, I ask God. And if God said no to that particular thing in my life, then I can live at peace at the fact that God sees something I'm not seeing here. I'm glad to be saved because I have a powerful Father. Can I give you a second one? Why I'm glad to be saved? I'm glad to be saved because I have a purpose for living. I have a purpose for living. Think about this. I don't know about you, but I feel sorry for the world whose purpose for living is to sleep, eat, work, pay bills, and die. And then you come home and you eat supper and you go to bed and you wake up and you get dressed and you go to work and you come home and you pay bills and you eat. Is that the Smurfs or the Cinderella group? The Snow White? I can't keep up with these people. It's off to work we go. I have the fortune of being in the ministry, being called to preach and pastor these years. And listen, every day is not easy. And every day I don't want to just go back to the office or back to whatever work it is, but I love the fact that there's something fulfilling about it. And I just want to say to you that when you get saved, God gives you a purpose for living. There's reason. Look at chapter 7 there. Look at verse number 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. What are they producing? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And let me just warn you this morning about all of this stuff going on online. Be careful who you listen to. God said to try the spirits. Ask God to show you if someone's right on or not in their teaching. And there's so much out there today. Everyone has a microphone and a camera, and there's a podcast here, a YouTube video there. And there is good stuff. I like listening to a Lester Roloff. I like listening to some preachers of old that I can find online. But be sure you're not being taught false doctrine. Now, here's the thing about the Christian life and us having purpose is we get to produce fruits. We get to turn to John chapter 15, if you would. We get to honor our Heavenly Father by bringing forth fruit from our life. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse number 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. All right? Sometimes even churches go through a purging, and you wonder why, some folks leave or whatever. And, hey, if it means more fruit, I'm all for it. Now, ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Then verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So, There are lots of fruit that we could bring forth in our Christian life. The fruit of the Spirit, letting God have control, where it's not just us living in the flesh all the time and being our normal self and being able to love where we used to not be able to love, having peace that we used to not have, those sorts of things. Certainly fruit would be reproducing ourselves. It would be getting to leave our mark, doing something for God that will outlast us, getting to reach people with the gospel, helping to disciple people, to teach people, to encourage God's people. Hey, we get to labor for the Lord. To think that God can do it all without us, but still He chooses to use us. What an honor it is. What a privilege it is. So yes, I'm a little different because I'm in ministry. I get a paycheck just like you get paychecks, and I work and I try to work hard for my paycheck every week. But let's look at kind of your avenue for a minute. You have a place out there that you work. Miss Parker works at the coffee shop there, and I have not gotten a discount yet, but she works at the coffee shop there, and of course raises those kids, her and Brother Parker, and they've got a farm, and on this farm they have some goats, E-I-E-I-O, and they have some, I don't know what all they have there. But there's a lot of work going on there, and a lot of living. But you know, at the end of the day, coffee's not going to matter. At the end of life, coffee's not going to matter. Animals not going to matter. Brother Joe, taxidermy work, you've done some for me. All those animals on the wall, none of that's going to matter when we get to heaven. You know what's going to matter? That they got up this morning and came and worked with the youth department. What's going to matter is that they were out yesterday knocking doors trying to tell people about the Lord. What's going to matter is they gave their tithes and offerings so a church can have the ministries that it has and do the things that it does. Only one life so soon will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. I'm glad Brother Anderson is here this morning, Miss Anderson, and them being our youth pastor way back when in the early 90s, and it's a perfect example. Perfect example that your fruit should remain. So all these years now, 20 plus years, they've been out in Pensacola, Florida, doing a work just like we're doing here. But do you realize that for these years that I've been pastor, leading this church, and as this church is fruitful, guess who taught the young man who was the teenage young man still trying to figure out what God wanted from his life? Guess who taught the young man and took him to the youth camps and the youth groups and things? Brother Miss Anderson. And so these many years, they're over here in Pensacola saying, hey, let's do a work for God, and have done a great work there. But there's another branch right over here. And I'm not the only one. And they're everywhere. And that's producing fruit. We have no idea how much fruit our life has produced for Christ. I don't know about you. That's better than going to work, clocking in, clocking out, pay the bills, go back to sleep, wake up, go to work. We have to do those things, yes. And I hope you love your job. Mine's a ministry, but it's also a job. It's multifaceted. There are a lot of things on our plate. But I love it. I've loved it all these years. I do love it. It's not easy, but I love it. But friend, listen, I hope you love your job. But if that's all you're living for, you're missing your purpose for living. I'm glad to be saved because I have a powerful father. Don't mess with me. I'll call my dad. You've heard the story about me having my nose broke. If you didn't, just watch my brother Shane's services when I preached his stewardship conference a few weeks ago. I think he told every story in the book. God took his voice away too the next day. It was great. But I had my nose broke when I was freshman or sophomore year in high school. Anyways, I'm not going to get into the story today. But when I went home, oh, Brother Carl, whoo! He forgot he was a pastor in Wills Point for just a moment. He was ready to go whip everybody in that town. Any good parent in here would do the same thing. I mean, don't go whip everybody in that town. But you'd have the same mindset. Don't mess with my kid. Don't mess with my kid. Hey, don't mess with me. I've got a powerful Heavenly Father. I've got a purpose for living. Let me give you the third one here. Why I'm glad that I'm saved. Because I have a perfect foundation. I have a perfect foundation. Look back there, Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. By the way, that is the rock, Jesus Christ. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew. And by the way, that's what's going to happen in life. The rain's going to come, the flood's going to come, the wind's going to come. I mean, we're going to have trials, we're going to have troubles, we're going to have valleys. and beat upon that house. And notice, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But look at verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon it. Now notice there, the child of God over here is building his life upon the rock, Jesus Christ. The person over here who's lost, doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they don't have that solid foundation. Both have rain, both have wind, both have troubles, both have trials. That should be number one when you hear somebody on TV or online, some old preacher, some motivational speaker, and all he does to my God wants you to have this and this and this and this. If they never tell you you're going to have some valleys, they're lying out their teeth. All right, we're going to have trouble in this life, but the difference is your foundation. It goes on to say the one who built his house upon the sand, same things happened to it, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Like I said, that rock that this passage is speaking of is Christ, but other foundation can no man lay, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32 and in verse number 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. We're getting ready to build on add a room to our house. We tried to wait for the lumber prices to go down, but I just don't think they're going down. Not in this presidential term anyways. But it's staying up. So we're getting ready to add a room onto our house. And the room will go up pretty quick, but you know what takes forever? The foundation. Making sure it's just right. Making sure it's set just right. Making sure it's level. If it's not, it's going to be like the time my brothers and I went camping and at the deer lease, and we had this little old RV, and it wasn't any longer than from here to that wall. And Shane and I were in the bunk beds back here, and Sean was up there by the hitch, and there was a bed up there, and the little sink was right here by the bunk beds, and it was Shane's RV, so it obviously was not put together right. And we're sleeping in the middle of the night. Sean decides to get up and go to the sink, and he gets out of his bed. Sean's not he's not the smallest brother, and he comes back there with us, and the whole trailer goes boop. The hitch and everything. I roll over to the window. Sean, go back to the other side. All right. So you got to get the foundation set. You got to get the foundation secure. If the foundation is not right, it will not matter what you build on it. It will eventually fall apart. If you make the foundation of your life the church, then as soon as you're away from that church, you're going to start doing everything opposite. If you make your foundation a preacher, guess what? Men are going to fail you. If you make your foundation your parents, Christianity, young people, we're going to see it as soon as you graduate. You're going to want nothing to do with God. Some of you look that way right now by your countenance around the auditorium. And I'm saying to you, man, I have a perfect foundation which is not going to crumble. And if everything in my life falls apart, I still have that foundation. And I'm afraid many in churches today have a foundation of religion, but not a foundation of Jesus. Here's what I mean by that. What he said there was, and I'm going to paraphrase, but what he said was, so those that hear these sayings of mine, what he says is those that hear the word of God and apply it to their life, they're building upon a rock. Those who hear the word of God and say, that's old fashioned, I don't want that, they're building their life upon a sand. This is what you say, the world's going crazy fast. This is nuts. I'm telling you right now, here's the way I see it. It's starting in the churches. Because you have all this stuff today out there calling itself a church. There's no Bible preaching. It's not what it used to be. And friend, listen, I believe that society really is following the church today, and not the church not standing for anything as it used to. I think there are a lot of people sitting in churches today whose foundation is religion. I went to church. I feel good. All right, so. But they're not taking the word of God and saying, okay, this is how I ought to be living my life. So their foundation is not secure, all right? A child of God takes the foundation, which is Christ, salvation, and starts building upon it. And you take baby steps, and none of us will ever be perfect in the sense of sinless until we get to heaven. But we ought to sin less. We ought to be striving. We ought to be growing in grace. We ought to be growing in our knowledge of the Bible. I'm glad that I'm saved because I have a powerful Father. I can pray to Him. I can ask Him for things. And sometimes He grants the wish because it's according to His will. And sometimes He says no. But He knows better than me. And He has all wisdom, all power. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I preached a message one time, my way or the highway. I know what I want, but you know what I want more is the highway. I want God's way. I'm glad I'm saved because I have a powerful Father. I'm glad I'm saved because it gives me a purpose for living, more than just work, mow my yard, all that. I enjoy that stuff. But man, there's got to be something bigger than us going on. I'm glad I'm saved. Hey, by the way, let me just pause. I'm just about done. I'm ready for lunch. There's a crowd going around today that have quit our kinds of churches, and they'll get on this stuff, and they'll tell you what, boy, it's just all works. I mean, yeah, it's salvation by grace through faith, but then it's all producing. And if you're not doing this and you're not doing that, I listen to one of those dumb podcasts that somebody put on the other day, and the whole time I'm laying there thinking, why don't you give some Bible? Hey, excuse maker, college quitter, never went in the ministry. Why don't you get some Bible for all that nonsense? Because I'd love, honestly, to go on one of their shows. I'd really have to pray about my patience. But I thought the whole time, and the reason I listened, he said, why do you listen to that junk? Because I want to be mindful of what's going on. I want to know how to teach people, and I want to know, what are they saying? Is there stuff legit? And they'll say stuff like, I tell you what, anytime you get a crowd like that, the people listening to them are the people that wouldn't do a thing to help in a church, to lift a finger to do anything. You look at their giving report, and I mean, you couldn't keep one toilet running with water based on their giving, and now they're going to justify it, and they get together with a crowd that everybody's justifying their backslidden ways. And the whole time they're saying, well, it's just all performance based, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. I think God wants us to stay busy. It's just my thinking. What does Brother Spencer Smith say? Well, but I'm just a man with a Bible. I'm glad I'm saved because I have a powerful Father. I'm glad I'm saved because I have a purpose for living. I'm glad I'm saved because I have a perfect foundation. And lastly, I'm glad I'm saved because I have a promised future. I started to put down, in fact, I did write it, a promising future. And I thought, no. Because promising says, hey, this hunting season sounds promising. But that doesn't mean anything's going to happen. This hunting season is promised. That means somebody tied a deer to a tree for you. You will shoot a deer. We don't have a promising future. Well, I just think we'd be good old boys. We get to go to heaven one day. No, as a child of God, you have a promised future. Look at verse 21 quickly, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So he said, there are going to be a lot of people that are church, they do a lot of church stuff, that were never really born again. Look at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, that's eternal life, that's heaven. Few there be that find it. The Bible says it's straight. That way is straight. That means narrow. That means it's not wide. You remember the Suez Canal here the last couple of weeks? One ship turned sideways, clogged up the entire Suez Canal there in Egypt. It was a very narrow passage. No one else was getting through. The Bible says that it's a very narrow passage, a very narrow way to heaven. There are not many ways to heaven. However, there are many ways to hell. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow way. The narrow gate, the narrow way. For wide is the gate. Broad is the way. That means wide. It means extensive. It means vast is the way. that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Friend, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, it's me plus Mary. He didn't say, it's me plus baptism. He didn't say, it's me plus the Baptist church, or me plus the Church of Christ, or me plus your works. He said, I am the way. You say, well, why did it say there the whole one's going, or those that do the will of my Father? Because the Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is for you to be saved. Amen. It's good to be saved, isn't it? Amen. It's good to wake up every day and know that you know that you know that you're saved. Because when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm still going to be saved. And when I die, I'm going to be saved. Still saved and home in heaven. Glad to be saved. Have a powerful Father I can talk to any hour of the day. You can too. It's not just a preacher thing. You're a child of God. You have access to God. Pray. Talk to Him. He's your greatest friend. I have a purpose for living. My life's not just about making sure my yard's mowed. My life is making sure somebody else knows that they're saved. Someone's growing in the Lord. Someone's learning the Bible. There's still some kind of light in this dark society. I have a perfect foundation. I can build my life, build my marriage, build my family, build my kids on the rock, Jesus Christ. And if everything, you ever seen a category like five, a hurricane or tornado, and boy, these things, and boy, it just leaves a foundation. But the foundation's still there. Foundation's still there. Unless you're in a trailer house. But the foundation's still there. And you know what? Everything in my life could go south, but my foundation will always be there, and I could just rebuild. It's good to be saved because I have a promised future. I wonder if there's someone here this morning. You say, I'm not sure about that promised future. Listen, if you're a teenager, young boy, young lady, if you're an adult and you're a member or visitor, just doesn't matter. For God so loved the world, God loves you. God wants you to be saved. The wages of sin, the wages of your sin, the wages of my sin, the payment for our sin is death. That's not just physical death, that's being spiritually dead, and that's going to hell one day for eternity. But the gift of God, it's a gift. You don't have to earn this pen if I just gave it to you. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't erase everything you've ever been taught about salvation if it didn't line up with that right there. Erase everything you've ever been taught about going to heaven if it did not line up with that right there, because that's straight out of the Bible. Say, how narrow is the way to heaven? It's about that narrow right there. It's only through Christ, and the way is only found in the Word of God. If you're here today and you can't say with confidence, I know that I'm saved, I want you to be saved. I want you to know the Lord.